for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Charlottesville suffers defeats in the wake of last August's violence, including the failure of all the resulting bills the city advocated for in the General Assembly regarding guns and crowd control. And the city has been forced to remove the black shrouds covering two Jim Crow-era monuments. Meanwhile, a bill barring so-called sanctuary cities in Virginia advances. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 1st.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The Republican-controlled Virginia General Assembly has defeated every bill the city of Charlottesville advocated for in the wake of a white supremacist rally last summer that shocked the nation. The August rally, organized in part to protest Charlottesville's decision to remove a Confederate monument, descended into chaos, and the day ended with three people dead. In the aftermath, two reviews recommended changes to state law to allow localities to enact limited gun restrictions. Bills that would have done so failed to make it to the floor of either chamber this year, as did bills intended to regulate independent militias, such as the ones that showed up in Charlottesville, heavily armed. Measures that would allow cities to remove Confederate monuments have also been defeated. Meanwhile, the city of Charlottesville says it has complied with a judge's order to remove the black shrouds installed over two Confederate monuments after that violent August rally. Charlottesville tweeted that city staff removed the shrouds Wednesday morning. A day earlier, a circuit court judge said they had to come down. The decision came during a hearing in a lawsuit against the city over its attempts to remove the monuments. Separately, the Daily Progress reports another city statue of a surveyor and soldier was hit with graffiti on Tuesday. The graffiti said, "I can't breathe." Those were the last words of Eric Garner, a black man who died after a New York police officer's chokehold. His words have become a rallying cry in the national debate over policing, brutality, and race. State legislators from the Shenandoah Valley say they are frustrated at the lack of response by their colleagues in Congress to requests to help fund improvements to Interstate 81. The Daily News Record reports that three Valley delegates, Todd Gilbert of Mount Jackson, Steve Landis of Weir's Cave, and Dickie Bell of Stanton, are complaining of a, quote, lackluster response to their request. The three Republican lawmakers sent a letter in January, also signed by 14 other state representatives, to U.S. Senators Tim Kaine and Mark Warner, both Democrats, and to Representatives Bob Goodlatte, Barbara Comstock, and Morgan Griffith, all Republicans in the House. The letter asked them to work with the Trump administration to improve I-81, especially to provide funding for an extra travel lane at certain so-called safety pinch points. Although the delegates say Goodlatte responded positively, the other representatives either did not respond or did not voice support for extra funding. Virginia's Senate and House have written their versions of the two-year state budget, but the two budgets are about $400 million apart. A handful of lawmakers are tasked with hammering out the difference, but as Virginia Public Radio's Mallory No Pain reports, all the wrangling happens behind closed doors.
It's called the Budget Conference Committee, but it's not really a committee at all. Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University says it's informal and temporary.
This would be akin to six members of the House and six members of the Senate deciding they wanted to get together for dinner and talking through, you know, some sort of disagreement over some piece of legislation. That's essentially what they're doing.
What they're talking about is the entire state budget, pay raises for employees, funding for mental health facilities, and the biggie, Medicaid expansion. Megan Ryan with the Virginia Coalition for Open Government says the question of transparency has been raised before. Local governments wouldn't be allowed to talk budget details in secret. So why can state lawmakers?
The reason that there is an exception for the General Assembly is because the General Assembly writes the rules.
But, says Kidd, there may be some benefit to those rules.
In some ways, this conference committee makes compromise more likely than if this negotiation were to be happening in the open.
Efficiency might be another upside. Lawmakers have just 10 days to wrap up the budget. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Meanwhile, a bill barring so-called sanctuary cities in Virginia is advancing from partner station WCVE. Megan Pauley reports.
The bill would allow the state to withhold funding from localities that adopt policies to restrict federal immigration enforcement. Republican Senator Charles Carrico says it would protect residents from violent drug-related gangs like MS-13.
They migrate into those communities and they integrate into those communities so that they're able to run their drug traffic, they're able to human traffic.
But those like Democratic Senator Jennifer McClellan say the legislation would only promote fear among Virginia's undocumented communities.
If you are a victim of a crime, and let's be real, many gangs, including MS-13, target vulnerable, isolated communities, other immigrants.
According to the Virginia Coalition for Immigrant Rights, Governor Ralph Northam has said he'll veto this bill if it makes it to his desk. In Richmond, I'm Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.